This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Matt Varghese and Ben Parker. From maker interviews to tutorials and more, we're here to talk about all things no code.
Hi, everybody. Ben here with Visual Dev FM, and we're here for episode number 4, and I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host, Matt.
Hello, hello, world.
And so we're really excited about this episode this week. If you've been following along, we did a couple episodes on how to blog with no code using Webflow, and then we did an interview with Lacey Kessler, who is awesome. And
I hope
you enjoyed that. So today we're talking about Glide App, and if you've been in the no-code space, you've probably heard about it, and we're going to dive into that. But first, also, if you're in the no-code space, there's probably a tweet that you're thinking about that everyone is talking about, and I just wanted to briefly mention it. So Andrew Wilkinson, who founder of MetaLab, co-owner Dribbble, right? Legend.
Very well known. In the design community, insane, like one of the greatest.
Right, and he tweeted, quote, "I've been working on a local news site as a side project. First, we tried WordPress. It took 2+ months to get the site live post-design, in parentheses, and it's still buggy. Then I hired a no-coder to rebuild it in Webflow. It took him 7 days, and it looks better, and it is way faster." Insane.
I love it.
Yeah, this is
and you'll see, like, if you look at the replies on that tweet, you'll see the critic.
Oh yeah, coming out of the, I mean, from everywhere, people disparaging the no code movement. And then you have a lot of people who are proponents of it.
Yeah, this is not his first no code tweet. It's not even his first in the last like 2 weeks. Like, he had another, and he got a lot of flack for that one too. There's like, you know, a lot of people in the comments being like, oh, you can't no code without code. Like, yeah, obviously there's code involved, but like, it's the abstraction of it.
Yeah. Somebody has to develop no code tools. And once again, the point is not no code tools
for
everything, and you'll never need anybody to develop anything ever again. But it's about democratizing it. And I mean, what's funny is in the comments, even Matt Mullenweg, who is the co-founder of WordPress, he's responding to the tweet. It's gotten pretty fun. So if you haven't, seen it yet, at A. Wilkinson, it shouldn't be hard to find. It'll probably pop up pretty easy. You should go check it out. So,
for sure.
Anything else you want to say about that tweet, Matt?
I think it will go down in the No Code Hall of Fame, and it is currently being printed and framed for my gallery of no code tweets.
I love it. So let's hop into Glide App. What is Glide App? It's just, it allows you to create an app from a Google Sheet. They'll say create an app from a Google Sheet in 5 minutes for free. That's kind of their thing, right? And so essentially it is completely, it's supposed to be a mobile app, right? And it's completely driven by all the data that you have already in a Google Sheet. And so you can simply sign in with your Google account, choose, it's going to allow you to create a new app. It's going to ask you to choose a sheet to work from, and then it automatically starts turning that into it. It's crazy how fast it, like, you pull it up and it's like there's already data there, and then it's just kind of rearranging things. So
admittedly, I was honestly a little skeptical of like how, like, if the app is entirely based on a Google Sheet, I was like, is it really going to be that functional an app, or is it going to be like, you know, it just like looks pretty, but it's really just an over-glorified table. But then when you like think about it, like a lot of apps are just like really advanced tables. And like the fact that I completely underestimated like what could be built. You can build actual businesses with Glide App. Especially, you know, if you've been collecting data and like maybe it's a directory or a premium list or like anything that like you can, like, if you can collect data and somehow figure out a way to monetize it, like I said, a premium list, like a high quality list of restaurants in your city or whatever, you could literally like build a business with Glide Apps.
Oh yeah. And what's really great about it is it's one of those things where you know, typically people who are working with no code tools, they've got spreadsheets of information they're ready to use, and whether they're going to bring those into Bubble or whether they're going to use those with Webflow or, you know, whatever tool that they were thinking about using. It's so easy to get a mobile app for like just straight from a Google Sheet. So some examples that they share on their site, conference apps, which I'll just stop right here.
Lacey Kessler do.
Yeah, Lacey Kessler, I think, put something together for NoCodeConf. But we do a Webflow. So I work for Webflow, and we do a company retreat every year. And this year they had, you know, schedule of events. They built this really cool website for us to see it all. And a shout out to Jan, who built that. And it was really awesome. And then Matthew Munker took all of that information and turned around and put it in a Glide app. So if you had your phone with you, you could see the schedule of events. You could. Yeah. So some more advanced features, like I could literally open up the app and share a picture with everybody else. There was chat. A chat function so we could talk to one another. It was super amazing. So you can do conference type apps. Really, really cool. So you do something like that. You could, one of the examples they give is keep your investors updated with a custom app. So if you have people who are investing in your company or in a project that you're working on, you probably already have that data in a spreadsheet. You can simply turn around and connect that to an app and give people different ways to see it from their phone. Make your own Instagram, like I said, posting and share pictures. Make a directory. Directories are pretty good, whether it's, I know Matt mentioned, like a list app for restaurants, but it might be a directory for, if you work for a company, you want to list everybody on the company, make it easy for people to find one another, contact one another. You might see that. Make an app that you can record your own expenses. There's all these different use cases, and it's just done by...
And it's all manageable from the Google Sheet,
all right? Manageable from, like, the Google Sheet.
You can update just the Google Sheet. You don't even have to log into Glide Apps once it's built, really, to, you know, get that data to refresh.
Yeah, and what's really neat is, you know, people can... You have form elements, and people can post things like make your own Instagram. Well, all of that gets placed into the Google Sheet. That Google Sheet is your database. That's where everything lives. So as users create things, you know, they are placed in that app. What's really cool about Glide Apps is you can make it where just anybody can sign up. Doesn't matter who it is. You know, you promote the app. Anybody can create an account. You can whitelist it. So you can say only people with email from this domain. So if you wanted to share something with just your company, you could say, you know, only people with this type of email address could access that. So you do have some controls there. But so what we did this week is we simply sat down and started creating some apps. And Matt messaged me, like, after we talked about it. He's like, I've already built two. And I was like, what? Like, that was fast.
It was definitely my first time doing it, too. Because when Ben and I were planning this out, we had a call about, you know, what apps we were going to build. And I was just like, I don't know what the heck I'm going to build. And I was a little concerned about it. But then, like, once I, like, built the first one, I was like, man, there are actually so many things you can just, like, do with Google Sheets that, like, I could just think of off the top of my head. So that's why I built two, just for fun, just to see how it turns out.
So what did you build?
So that was a lot of fun. So I built – so there's two apps that I built. The first one – so Ben and I both live in Oklahoma City. And we have this program, and again, this is essentially, you could rebuild this entire business with Glide Apps and essentially Webflow, and you could, you know, ball out in your home city or your home state. But it's called Keep It Local, and what essentially it is it's a membership directory where businesses pay, you know, like $500 a year to keep it local. And they get listed on this app and on this website. And, you know, the website will be like, all right, choose your area. So, like, Oklahoma City is the main city, but we have, like, districts, like Plaza District. So, you know, let's say we have a really great pizza spot in Plaza District called Empire Pizza. And, you know, they can sign up for that program. They get a little sticker that they could put on their door, which you can automate that part through Printful. You know, there's so many ways to handle that as well. But they get a little sticker they can put up, and, you know, when a person comes in with these Keep It Local cards, customers, people like me and Ben can go buy a Keep It Local card for $15. And we can show it at you know, Empire Slice or whatever local business participates in this program, and we get whatever discount that business offers. So they're making money from both the businesses enrolling into my membership, like paying that $500 a year, and then also they make money by wholesaling the cards to retailers. They sell them for 10, retailers sell them for 15. So it's a solid business for sure. And the problem is their app has not been, it's been updated function, like data wise, but like the design itself has, it hasn't been redesigned in a while. and I'll give them props. They were building apps when like no one else was really doing it. But you know, I decided that I think it would be really cool to try to rebuild that in Glide Apps. So what I did is I first, like an idiot, I started typing out. I literally went on their website and I like created my columns, whatever. And then I was like copying and pasting each business's name and address and the reward and all of that, from their website for each business into my sheet. But then I had stumbled upon this data scraper that I had sent Ben like last week. And it's a no-code data scraper, and it's truly like no-code. You can click the data and like data points that you want.
So wait. Like the business. So how do I get this? Yeah. Is it like a Chrome extension or?
It is a Chrome extension. So there's an awesome 7-day trial. The maker did a phenomenal job building it. It is so functional. I mean, there are some bugs, but like there are ways to work through it, as I'll explain. But it's a Chrome extension. So you download that, you click the button and you say, scrape this page. And so I guess a good way to explain how it works is let's say you have like a blog page on your website and it lists all of your blog posts. It's got like a picture and a title, and then you can click through to read the whole post. So first you would click through, into the post itself. And like, let's say you want to grab the body or something like that. You click through onto that page, you select the fields that you want, select the body, the author name, date, whatever you want, and then you click next in any picker, which is the name of the scraper. You back out, and then you at this point you're onto the page with all of the blog posts, and then you say you select the data you want from there, and more importantly, you select the links of each blog post, because how it works is, it works on your machine. It doesn't run on a server or anything like that, which also helps recapture stuff because it, you know, your IP address isn't jumping around. You're literally just, it looks like you're browsing on your machine. So you select all the links, and then you define navigation. You say, you know, if there's a navigation at the bottom, like a breadcrumb trail, essentially, you define what that is and what the next button is. And that's really it. So I kid you not, it took me 10 minutes to get the data of like 150 businesses or something like that.
So it's basically working off repeatable patterns. Like you're basically telling it, this 100%. Is a title, this is an image, this is the body.
Yes. Yes.
This is how you go to next page,
elements,
previous page, mm-hmm. and then go get it.
So it clicks on these elements itself. It goes into that page. It gets that data and then it exits that tab and then it repeats the process over and over again. So you know, your computers, unless you have like a ton of RAM, your computer's not really usable during this process, but, you know, it was cool. It was really, I loved the fact like how easy it worked. And it shows you all the data it's collecting in the browser. The problem that I was briefly telling Ben about before is that it's got some export issues. So when I exported it, it gave me a file without like a file type when I wanted a CSV. And so I was like, oh yeah, I'll just write .csv at the end and it'll all be good. And it was like partially good, but I was like missing all the images of these businesses. I went to view the page source because it shows you the data in the browser. I went to view the page source. It's built in tables, HTML tables, that fun element. And then I copied that data and I went on some like online tables to CSV converter. And then I got the data that I need. And then, I know that was a lot of backstory, but once I got that done, I kid you not, it took me 5 minutes to build my Glide app. like you, like Ben said, it just asks you to choose the Google Sheet, and then you're like, all right, what columns do you want to show the user? And then like, you're done. Like, there is very, very little that you have to do to make it a functional app, and you can share it instantly.
Yeah. I think just like anytime you use data, you know, and honestly, it doesn't matter, you know, MySQL or a spreadsheet, Google Sheet, you know, Microsoft Excel, you spend most of your time cleaning up the data and making sure it's all consistent and it's going to work. So that's really where most that's where most of your heartache or most of your pains are going to be when you're building a Glide app, is just making sure everything's the way it needs to be. One thing to keep in mind when you're building with Glide app is like a lot of their screens rely on images. You know, a lot of their features, like they'll have a title feature and it relies on an image. So if you don't have data that uses an image, you might want to think about ways to incorporate that just to make your app look a little more rich and
when
full.
When I first built Keep It Local, I actually left out the image and then I imported the list and I was like, this does not look good. So I scraped the pages for the images on the page as well. And then I literally just like grabbed the URLs.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have to manually upload anything. I think you can manually upload images in Glide. Like I've seen that in some of their promo videos, but like once you collected the data, I mean, you're set.
Yep. And it's just a super powerful app. So you built a Keep It Local clone essentially with Glide, and we'll have, well, just like in the show notes, we always put links to all these things in the show notes. So you'll be able to go grab the link and see Matt's app, the Keep It Local app, and check it out and see what you think of it. And it's unbelievably awesome. I mean, I pulled it up and was like, holy cow. Because like he said, I've used the Keep It Local app, and I'm like, oh, it's kind of a pain, and to have it like this is so awesome.
It's really cool.
It has a map view where you can literally like pull up a map and look where you're at and like choose different locations and see what the discount you're getting is, 10% off food and drink or whatever it might be. And then there's a chat area where you can literally jump into a chat session, which is pretty cool. So,
for sure.
Awesome stuff. So then you built a second app. What did you build after that?
Yeah, for time's sake, I'll be a little shorter on this.
Tell us about it.
So my buddy Ryan, who recently betrayed OKC and moved to Boston, he lived in OKC all his life. He just moved like last year, but while he was here, he's a big OKC like foodie. So he created a Google spreadsheet himself in his free time of like all these restaurants or coffee shops or whatever. And how the spreadsheet was set up is it had column A was the type of the place. So, you know, whether it's a cafe or whether it's how burgers or steakhouse, whatever. Second one was the name of the business. And then the third one was the category of the – or not the category, the area of the business itself, because OKC is huge. So it's broken up into a lot of different, you know, districts and things like that. So he had those three pieces of data, and it was really a solid sheet. And actually, at first, I imported that into Glide Apps, and I was just like, you know, this is it. This is done. And then I was just like, oh, wait, I don't have any images, and I don't have any addresses, so I don't have map view. And like you said, Glide is kind of reliant on images. I mean, you can work without it, but like, it just doesn't look as good. So I was like, all right, how can I make this work with as little work as possible? So I just found like it was a snippet of code on Stack Overflow. It was like five lines of code, a custom function that lets you just create an API key in Google Maps, and you can like get all this data from Google Maps. So how it worked is, and I can share the code that I got for you to, you know, pass in all these variables. But how it worked is this function, this snippet of code works just like an Excel formula. So you just said get, you know, equals get address parentheses, and you passed in, I think it was three parameters. It was the name of the business, comma, that was the first parameter, the city of the business, which my buddy Ryan has in his sheet. And then since all these businesses are in Oklahoma, I passed in a state as well. Just so, you know, if there's any other plaza districts with a business that just happens to be similar, like I'm not getting that one. I'm getting the one in my state.
Yeah.
So I did that, and it worked really well. In fact, since, you know, Ryan betrayed us, he hasn't been keeping up on the businesses that unfortunately have closed, but Google Maps would return an error for me. So like I was able to tell which one's closed through the error. And then I use that same snippet of code, just like slightly modified, to get an image, like a contributor image for each one. And then I turned his Google Sheet, and that was even less time. Cause after I figured out how to build Keep It Local, the food app was super easy, and it's fully functional. I showed it to him and he was just like, this is crazy. I'm sending it to my wife. it's like a really good list. And that's what I like, going back to what I was saying earlier, like, you can build whatever you want. And like, if you really wanted to be like a food critic or something like that, and you wanted to build your own little, like, here are my recommendations for, you know, restaurants or coffee shops or whatever, you could do that with Glide apps.
Yeah, it's really cool. And so if you look at this app, once again, link in the description, but it's got a list view where you see like an image and the name of the place. And then when you click into it, it tells you the area where it's at, the address, the category, whether it's like, you know, burger, pizza, whatever. And we have more than burgers and pizza in Oklahoma City, but but you can choose a category. And then it's got a map that shows you, you know, where that's at. And then there's a place for people to add comments, which is really cool. And then there's a tab where you can view just by the map. You can kind of, hey, where am I? And kind of look around the map and see what's around. And then there's a gallery view. So if you want to look by those contributor images, you know, from Google, you can kind of just look and see what food hits you, click into it. Like, I just saw some pizza that looked really good, and it was Hideaway Pizza, which is one of my favorites. So,
yeah,
but it's a really cool app, and it seemed like you threw it together really quick.
Yeah, we're talking literally 30 minutes. And 25 of those minutes was just data, like cleaning it up and then getting, you know, the data from Google Maps and all of that good stuff. The two things that I found most interesting with Glide apps that I can't even believe is included in a free, actually, I can't believe most of this is included in a free tier. Like, it was just so easy to get started. And it's just like, you know, they say with the free tier, it's like, yeah, you have to share it with our branding, but it's like very minimal branding.
Yeah.
Like you see it briefly unload. It says made with glideapps.com, and that's gone in like half a second. And then the URL itself to share the app is a Glide app link. But other than that, it was like really minimal. It looked like an app I built myself. But the two features that I found most interesting were, live chat. I can't believe that's included on a free tier.
Yeah.
And then, commenting, cause on Ryan's food list, I actually, if you go into each individual like restaurant or whatever, you can actually, there's a full on commenting system where anyone can leave a comment. And I thought that was really dope just to have that in an app on a free tier that I got going in 30 minutes. That's just absurd.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And then so when you make it, it gives you like a subdomain, so like whatever you would choose .glideapp.io. And when you pull it up on a browser, it's like on your computer, it actually shows the image of a phone, and then the app is live where you can play with it. And then it shows like a description, and it gives you a button to share it, and it actually has a QR code so you can scan it with the phone. And then, you know, when you open it up on your phone, it's almost like it's a web app on your phone. So
tell them what you built, because I'm literally using it right now during this podcast, because, you know, priorities and all.
Yeah, it's I wanted to see what it would look like to work with live data. So I used two different features. Actually, it's the same feature. I used a feature called import XML in Sheets. And so I found an RSS feed of NFL scores, and I imported that into Google Sheets. And then in the same sheet, new tab, I found an RSS feed for NFL news. And so I imported that via an RSS feed. And so I had live scores, and I had to do a little work in my spreadsheet. So I had to kind of concatenate, like, to get this team at this team, and to kind of insert scores in the title. And then when I imported the NFL feed, the news feed, it didn't have images with it. So I had to, and I'll share my sheet so you can look at it, but I had to use a formula that let me get the open graph image for a URL, the link to it, so I can automatically include it. So But one tab is live scores. You can go through games and click on a game. And it's inside the game. It's nothing special. But you do see home score, visitor score, who the teams are, who the winner was, when the game was. And then on the news tab, it's got images. It's kind of an images and title. And so you can click on a news image or a news item, and it's got an image that goes with it and the title there over it. And then it gives a little brief description, a place for people to comment, and a button where you can go read the article, you know, wherever it's from. So, and I think I did all of this, and I want to say it was less than 15 minutes.
This is insane. Okay, one question on this. How does the RSS feed part work? Like, is that like you, is it like a function where, because like, I legitimately don't know how to work with those in Google Sheets.
Yeah, so it's like literally like it's a, you can Google this, Google Sheets import XML. And essentially it's like equals import XML, and you have like parentheses, and you put in.
Oh, so it's a built-in function.
Yeah, and you literally paste in the URL, and then you have to tell it how you're getting certain things. You have to pass through some parameters, but it'll pull in a feed, which is unbelievable. And there are RSS feeds to everything. And if you really wanted to get crazy, a tool like Zapier has the ability to take multiple RSS feeds and then combine them. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like if you're wanting to, have some sort of tech news list with all these different feeds from all these different places, you could technically combine them into one and then be feeding the app. What I did find is that, RSS feeds only update every so often. So you're dependent on when that RSS feed updates. And then once it updates, Glide only updates, I think, every 5 minutes or something like that. So there is, if you're wanting real-time information, it's probably not the solution for you, but I just wanted to see what it was like. And shockingly, it worked incredibly well. So I have the link to my app here too. You can go look at it, check it out.
It's awesome. So you pulled in the images itself that comes from the article, or did you are these stock photos? How does it work?
So on mine, basically what I did is when I pull in the XML feed into Google Sheets, it gave me a link to the article, and then I just added a new column on the right hand side and used a formula to pull the open graph image. And so for that, so it automatically pulls it when that gets updated. So it's, you can use import XML, and you basically say this sheet, and then this cell, and then you say comma in parentheses, the meta property, and I'll share this sheet so you can pick through it and see, but it automatically goes and grabs the image, so you don't have to. So like you said, it's all super automated, and when that feed refreshes, my news will refresh. When the way the NFL feed score works, when this week is officially over, after X amount of hours, it'll automatically reset to next week, so I don't even have to do anything. So the schedule, literally, you have a live score app and news, and you're not doing, it's just setting up the spreadsheet.
In 15 minutes. Yeah. Literally 15 minutes, you got it going. Yeah. That's so dope.
It's the things you can do with Glide app are, I've got
to
say,
to have a lot of experience in Google Sheets or, tech to be building an app, or who is Glide app for?
So I think the awesome part is Glide app is for everybody. I think you can have zero experience and just know how to use a spreadsheet and turn out a killer kick-ass app, right? You can do some really, really cool work. But at the same time, just like with any tool, the more experience you have using these types of tools, let's take you for instance. You used, and this blows my mind, you used a Chrome extension scraper to pull data. you exported it, and you're using Google Maps API really quickly just to get CSV data. That's nuts. That's insane on the craziest levels. I will say, there are all kinds of things I used to work someplace, and we had a Salesforce installation and a custom Salesforce app, and it was, I'm not the biggest Salesforce fan, but it's dead useful, really good. And the mobile experience I particularly loathed. And they have a piece where you can automatically pull data out of Salesforce and it puts it right into a Google Sheet. And then you can mass update items in a Google Sheet and push it back to Salesforce. If I would have had this, and I could have literally built an app where we could have updated some of that data right from a Glide app that was so easy to use, and then push those changes back to Salesforce. Like, come on. Like, you could seriously, Matthew Munger, I'll give him credit for this idea. He was talking about using Glide app to connect to a spreadsheet that's updating Webflow, right? So you update the Glide app, update the spreadsheet, update your Webflow site. And so you're basically giving people a mobile editor for their site right from the phone. And what's really cool is, you know, you could have it where they can create new records. So it adds a new row, automatically adds a new item in Webflow.
That was crazy in itself. I mean, well, I think at creating a new record, that's one thing that we didn't really touch on with Glide apps is the fact that users can create new additions. So if it was like, if you were building a publicly like crowdsourced list, like people could add it in. Like you'll see when you play around with the Ryan's food list, you can create or you can add your own restaurant in. And like, instead of having people free type, you can choose from a dropdown. Like it's wild what you can do with that.
Yeah. You shared it with me. I'm going to go through and add every McDonald's in the metro area to the app.
Just ruin his list.
No, but I mean, you're right. I mean, you can crowdsource data. They can comment, you can have live chat. I mean, the things that you can do with it are incredible. And like you said, I'm getting all this functionality for free. Like, it's not even costing me. So let's talk about, if you go pro, what do you get? Well, you get like a file picker where you can upload files. You get a buy button, so you can connect it to Stripe. You can monetize it, which is pretty cool.
So straight up sell products.
Right. You can put you can get the geolocation for a user. So somebody who's using the app could pull up one of those map screens and see where they're at in relation to the items. Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's really
cool. Then instead of having the whatever.glideapp.io, you can have a custom domain, which is really cool. So if
And for what it's worth, like if you're not using, like I think we talked about this last episode, like we have to choose, since we use so many no-code tools, we have to choose selectively which ones we like get pro subscriptions on. But like The pro plans, I think I don't have it up in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it only goes up to like $29 a month for full functionality.
Yeah.
Which comparatively, if you are able to monetize it, like hopefully like that is feasible, because I think that's really reasonable compared to, you know, thousands that an app developer would charge you, you know, for $29 a month, or even free. Like you could do a lot with the free tier.
Yep.
I think it is a phenomenal tool.
And then you could, like we said, you could pair it with a sheet, and then you could use no code tools like Webflow or Bubble or anything. You could have it all work in tandem. So you could have subdomain, you know, like app.yourdomain, and use a subdomain for you and have your Glide app, and then have your marketing landing page still and do really cool things. But I mean, would highly recommend this if you're looking to like, oh, I quickly want to do this XYZ app. It is a great, great, great tool. Can't recommend it enough. But we talked about all now, the pros. Let's talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk.
What are the cons?
Yeah, what are the cons? So I think the obvious one is it's a web app. So like when you send people that link, it asks them if they want to add it as a link on their home screen, right? So, you know, and if you're like me, I've had people send me those before, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not adding it on my home screen. Like, right. I'll click this link every once in a while, but like...
And it almost reads as a pop-up, like when you first load the page, and like I'm so used to closing pop-ups that like I might not even read it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like I won't know, and I didn't even know you could add a web page to your home screen and it acts like an app. Like that in itself was a mind-blowing revelation for me.
I've done it before, and you know, I will say the one that Matthew created for our retreat, I used it. I did install it on my phone and enjoyed the experience, but I can see how, you know, if you say I built an app, people are going to go open the App Store. They're going to open the App Store on iOS. They're going to open the Play Store on Android, and they're going to search for your app and wah-wah-wah. They're not going to find it there, you know, sad trombone noise. And so that's definitely the downside, is that you can't deploy it as an iOS app or you know, an Android app. I would hope that that functionality is coming in the future, but I can't say I've been a part enough of Glide's community to speak intelligently about.
Right. So that's definitely a drawback. And like you said, there is that issue with live data, right? How often do you say it refreshes? Every 5 minutes?
I think it's like every 5 minutes. And I did a quick search on that to see if, like, you know, is there something you can... And they make a great point. Like, if you have thousands upon thousands of users refreshing data...
Especially a lot of data points, too. Like, if you're having a lot of data points updated,
That's
very heavy lifting on their servers.
Yeah, if you have, you know, I'm using it with... You know, there's not an unlimited amount of NFL teams. So, like, those scores, it's not taking it much, right? But, like, imagine if you have this really heavy set of data in Google Sheets and it's, you know, thousands of rows or what. Like, I mean, that could really be taxing. I did see a conversation where someone on Glide's team mentioned that there's a chance that maybe in the future that's a pro feature that comes. So, you know, take it for what that's it's worth. Dope. But you know, like I said, I enjoyed the experience, and I'm going to tell you, I haven't used this with client work yet or anything like that, but I'm going to be looking to do it and pair it with something else because it's just so awesome. I really enjoyed playing with the app and enjoyed the experience. I thought it was really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. I think the only other, Ben and I talked about this briefly earlier, but the only other con, if you would even go that far, is that there's not really, like, unlike with like Webflow where you can export your site and you have the HTML, CSS, JS, and you can just host it elsewhere. You don't really have that functionality with Glide app. It's essentially all built into their system and you can't export that yet. But Ben made a really good point earlier, that, I mean, you own the data. So you could just go spin that up elsewhere.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that's a big deal. That, I mean, the design is very helpful and, like, getting up really quickly is very helpful. But, like, the data is where, you know, the value is.
Yeah. And you could take that data and you could throw it anywhere. Like, you know, you could throw it into any CMS, any tool, any no-code tool that takes a CSV, you know, import, you could use that. Now, we can also talk about the other con, which is most people who are no coders. I hate saying this because I'm just generalizing, and so I'm so sorry. It may not be true, but there are a lot of people who are no coders who are designers as a background. Like, that's your background, right? And you got into no code because coding was such a barrier, and you could use Photoshop and you could use Illustrator, but, you know, You couldn't write all the code you needed to build something. And so when you hear about apps like Glide app, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to design the coolest app. And so we should mention that it's like they're preset blocks, right? Like, you know, you're going to grab a list block or a form block or a comment block or a button, and you can change your accent colors. But if you think...
That's pretty much the gist.
Yeah, if you're going to roll out a custom design, like, I designed this app in Figma and I'm going to roll it out with Glide, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. So that's definitely a con, though, too.
That's a con for a lot of people. To me, that was actually really refreshing because I wasn't like having, because a lot of times I'll like work in the functionality and then I'll like get stuck on the design because whenever it's your thing, you're just like, I want to tweak this or I want to tweak this. And that, you know, that's the hard part of like designing your own thing. But like, honestly, since it was so limited, I actually found that as a pro.
That's true.
Because I didn't have to worry about that.
Content first, right?
So like, to each their, yeah.
No, sure. I mean.
It's to each their own.
And it's also one of those things too, we talk about, like, you know, it gets talked about a lot, but democratizing web development, app development, you know, that's what no code is all about. And when you look at an app like this, if you're not a designer, but you just have the idea, this app is great because you don't have to.
For sure.
It's going to lay everything out and make it look good for you without you having to do a lot of work, which is.
And I think it's worth saying that, like, 5 years ago, we didn't have a lot of these tools. But in the next 5 years, we're going to have a lot more of these tools, and they're going to have functionality, and Glide's going to evolve, and Bubble's going to evolve. Like, all these tools are going to get better and better. And I think that's just, like, really good for everyone.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I can't wait. So, talking about the future, this is a great segue. what's next for Visual Dev FM podcast? What's coming next? So, there's the old meme or joke of Tinder, but for XYZ. So we're going to run with it. We have a friend here in Oklahoma City who has an app that she wants to build, has a good idea. It's Tinder, but for employers and potential employees. And just a really quick, easy place for people in the Oklahoma City area to find potential applicants or potential employees, and for, you know, people who are looking for a job to find a great employer to work for. And it's been done there. You can see it all over the place, but we wanted to tackle one, help Mary be able to build this app, but two, also we wanted to see how you would do this with no code. Like, if you don't know how to code, and so fair warning here, we're diving off into areas unknown to us, right? Like, Matt and I,
we've been talking about this a lot, and we are unsure on some of the details, but, you know, we'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where we've built a lot of stuff for the web. I've not built a lot of apps. And so this is going to be fun. You guys are going to have to learn with this. So what's coming up is we're going to have an interview with Mary where we just talk about what she wants, like what's that functionality, kind of what's the scope. And we're going to talk a little bit about the process of what kind of defining some of that is. And then we're going to jump in the subsequent episodes, and we're going to build it. And you're going to get some, some videos to go along with it and some blog posts. And you're going to hear all the pros and cons, and we'll even do. So one of the things I definitely want to do, I haven't told Matt this yet, so maybe this is the right time to be saying it, but I want to do a blog post when this is all done with a rundown of these are the places you can build a mobile app, and here's why it didn't work for this project, but here's what would be really, it could be good for. So I'm definitely going to run those down. So we'll have 3 or 4 episodes of this, and hopefully have some companion content as well. So it won't just be,
follow along, learn, but it'll be like, look at this, clone this, you know, here are the things you can do with your own thing. If you're trying to build Tinder for X.
Yeah. And here's a look into the process. And then we'll probably also, I mean, we haven't really talked about this, and Mary may have other ideas, but I was thinking we'll probably tackle some marketing pieces of that as well. So you may see us build something else to go along with it, which would be cool, and promote it. So, but the goal is to go from nothing to an app in an app store. So that's coming. The other thing that we're talking...
Ben, where are you heading in a month or so?
Oh, that's a good call. So I'm going to be... It looks like I'm going to be at the No-Code Conference. Woo, yeah. Cheers and all that fun stuff. And cannot wait. It's going to be so cool. So while I'm out there, I'm probably going to record an episode or two recapping what happened at the conference.
Dope.
And if I can snag other people, maybe I can bring Lacey back in, because I think she's going to be out there and we could record some. And if you're going to be there, if you're a no coder, hit me up. Would love to chat with you, get your thoughts and your takes on the conference and what you're learning. So that's coming. We'll have a couple of things around that. And then Lacey's actually going to come back and collaborate with us. And she agreed to it in the last episode. We got to work out the details, but she's going to collaborate with us on some Bubble stuff. So, which we're super excited about. We're going to do kind of some episodes around Bubble and some of the things you can do with it. And try to have some content around that. And then I feel like I'm missing one or two things.
You are. There was a pretty important change to Meetup's pricing policy today.
Great call.
If you can't tell, Meetup's pricing policy changed today. And it's
if you're on the free
terrible.
Tier. If you're on the free tier. So essentially, if you're a free user and you're not a pro user, they're going to start charging you per attendee. So essentially
it's like $2 an attendee, or something like that, right?
Yeah. So you could pay for each attendee that registers and attends, or you can charge that nominal fee. The hard part is, like, if you're already organizing a meetup, you're already worried about finding a space.
There's so many costs.
And right. food and getting speakers, and you're already spending money on that. And then to spend the extra money there.
Ben knows this firsthand because he does our Webflow meetup here in the city.
It's a struggle. So, struggle is real.
100%.
So what we thought we'd do is we will do a series combining probably Webflow and MemberStack and show you how to build your own meetup website. We'll make that clonable. You can still,
you know, for informational purposes. this is not intended to be used in production or anything like that.
You take it and use it however you want. And and so we got that. So lots of cool things coming. I honestly think the series with Mary, we're diving into territory unknown. So although we've done client work, and you'll get to see kind of how we approach that, there's also a lot of pieces that we don't know. It's going to be, you get to watch us and listen to us be completely
100%
out of our depth and learn. It's going to be a good time. And so we hope you follow along with us because we think it's going to be good. So,
yep. I'm excited for it.
Anyhow, this is a bit of a longer episode. So sorry. Hope you stuck with us and would highly recommend you checking out Glide Apps. Thanks so much for listening and make sure you catch us again next week.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdev.fm.